Here's Kristen Zeman, the former chief of the Aurora Police Department. She's retired and is now working the media circuit at times, reimagining blue as the title of a book she wrote, and we visited with her when that came out. It's subtitled Thoughts on Life Leadership and a New Way Forward in Policing. She talks around the country about how police forces should reimagine themselves after the Tyree Nichols video. We thought we'd get her views on this. Kristen, welcome back.
Hey, John. Thanks so much for having me. I'm sorry it's under these terrible circumstances.
Yeah, we'll find a happier occasion one day, but this is kind of why people reach out to you, and we see how difficult it is to be a police department, a tactical SWAT, and how badly things can go. What stands out to you in the Nichols video?
Well, you know, this is every time I see something like this, you know, I think that we've taken, you know, steps forward in our training, in our culture, and then something like this happens and, you know, we're catapulted far back. And, you know, here we are again, and the quote comes to mind, I have seen the enemy and he is us. And that's sadly, you know, how I feel about this is, you know, these headlines and these police officers doing just, you know, horrific things. And in this particular case, murder. You know, right before our very eyes, it saddens me, you know, what went wrong, right? And, you know, I've been pretty vocal about a lack of training, and people have pushed back and have said that is what the defendants are going to say, that they, you know, perhaps they weren't trained properly. That's not exactly what I meant by that, is that you can look at something a little more abstract as culture, and we can talk about that, but this training, you had five cops that could not seem to subdue a 144-pound man. And then once they did, you know, get handcuffs, then, of course, they beat him to death. But that lack of training tells me that they aren't out there practicing defensive tactics, which is the lowest level for anyone who is resisting. And it shouldn't take five people, you know, to have placed him into handcuffs without anyone being harmed in that process. So I'll stop there with your thoughts, and you can lead me in the direction you want to go.
Well, I saw the video, and it didn't look to me like that was foremost on their mind, getting him in handcuffs. He was down. He was on his side. They wanted him on his stomach. But if the object of that moment was to put handcuffs on him and put him in the back of a squad car and arrest him, they could have done that. I think they were angry, and they just wanted to exact a little vengeance on that guy.
I absolutely agree with that. You know, that behavior, as I said, comes from a function of poor training and supervision, abysmal decision making, and then anger in the moment, the borrowing power from your position, or even I'll go as far as saying the pleasure of feeling that power. That's what I got from it. And then just add on cruelty on top of that. And, you know, there you have the combination of all of those things that were in play.
And black men are disrespected by the police a lot, regardless of their color. Some black men bring the violence upon themselves because they fight the police. And we ask the police to do a very physical, dangerous job. I think that's where these conversations often go to, Kristen, is people get angry when the victim of police brutality is not sufficiently compliant at the beginning of their interaction. What do you make about that?
So there is most certainly an argument to be made about compliance. We've heard that so many times. If they would have just complied, this wouldn't have happened. You know, but in this situation and in others like them, where you have seen an individual that perhaps was, and at the onset of this, I thought was compliant and soft-spoken. Yeah. And then, you know, later when he was being tased, that's when he ran. And so, I mean, to me, that was just him trying to save himself in this moment.
Yeah.
You know, so the
compliance
was there in the beginning, which kind of goes back to your question, though, is, you know, what about compliance? Well, so even still, so the key here is de-escalation. So let's say you do have someone who is not going to go peacefully in an arrest that, you know, has led you there via probable cause. So, you know, a lawful arrest. there are people who resist and are not compliant. You know, we call those no people in the profession. But we are taught, and that is where you can escalate only the amount of force to take that individual into custody safely. Once that has occurred, once you have subdued that individual, the action must cease. And that is where the de-escalation comes in. And that is where great police departments like mine in Aurora, our training division, put us through this training, where when you take someone into custody, you have to immediately de-escalate. And we practice that in controlled environments so that we play like we practice out on the street. You didn't see any of that de-escalation happen. No. In fact, they escalated the situation from what we could see.
They stood him up and beat him back down. You know, there seems to be something insular about these tactical squads. I guess the Memphis Police Department has now disbanded this Scorpion group, but it seems to me like they operate almost outside the rules based on what, John, 3 minutes of video. But I mean, can you talk about those kinds of units and the wisdom of them? Is that a good idea?
Yeah, well, I'm going to take kind of an opposing position here in what people have said about these special TAC units. You know, you have to, at least in my opinion, and this is of course my opinion and the way I ran my police department, is that you have to look at in our communities. You look at hot people and hot places is what we call them. Hot people are the ones who are wreaking havoc on the community. They are creating victims, whether it be, you know, carjacking or shootings. Hot people and hot places. So where are they committing these crimes? So then we dedicate a unit, and a unit such as this. Every department, many departments have them, especially larger departments that have more manpower. And so then you dedicate these units so they're not attached to the radio, aka not attached to answering 911 calls. And their job is to focus on prolific offenders. And I will tell you, I know in my police department, in the Aurora Police Department, and many other great police departments, they operate honorably, and they perform their duties enforcing the law in a way that is noble and honorable. And in this particular case, they were rogue. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They behaved like a street gang. And, you know, let's call this, you know, people are saying, well, it's called the Scorpion Unit. Well, I mean, you know that in law enforcement and military, we just love our acronyms. And, you know, I looked up what Scorpion was, and it's Street Crimes Operation to Restore Peace in Our Neighborhoods. Now, doesn't that sound beautiful? You know, and yet here they are operating, you know, like thugs. However, if they were operating under the guise of the law and were, you know, truly concentrating on prolific offenders and holding them accountable in a just way, people would have been like, oh, this is great. You know, so call it the fluffy bunny, you know, tax unit. I don't care what you call it.
Yes.
You know, it's just a name. It's just a name. And so there are a lot of great police departments that have these tax units that are doing very good work in driving down crime.
Half a minute left, Kristen. So then your advice to Chicago would be not to divest or disinvest in this sort of thing. This can be a valuable tool for a force.
Absolutely. What has to happen is a culture change. And I'll tell you what, that culture starts from the leadership that touts that these are our principles and these are our values. And yes, we have to enforce the law, but we do it in a humane way where everyone goes home, even the offender. And I'll tell you what, leadership is important, but the most important piece are the disruptors in law enforcement, the peer officers that can see their fellow officer, their comrade, getting worked up in an emotional incident, grabbing them and pulling them out and saying, hey, brother, I've got it from here. I have seen that happen countless times in my department with my own eyes, and we have to police ourselves. And that once that happens, that is where we're going to get exponentially better.
Reimagining Blue is your book, Thoughts on Life Leadership and a New Way Forward in Policing. Kristen Zeman is the former chief of police in Aurora, Illinois. Come to our studio sometime, Kristen. It's always good to hear your voice.
Thanks, John. I'm going to have you buy me lunch if I come, okay?
Deal.